Acts 2:41, and next Sunday night we will begin a series of messages on stories from the Old Testament with their application. That's basically what it'll be. And so the burning bush will be one of them. We'll do that Sunday week. So next Sunday night we'll do lessons on marriage from the patriarchs, and then the following Sunday we'll do the burning bush. The following Sunday we'll probably do Samson. I've been working on the messages on Samson and the lives, lessons from Samson. And it's been a long time since we preached on Samson. So it'll be events or, you know, stories, but also people in the Old Testament and their application. We'll probably do 5 or 6 or 7 weeks of that. And then we are still, Lord willing, this year, been wanting to for a long time, tackle the Sermon on the Mount on Sunday night. And so we'll look to do that in the month of March, start on that in the month of March. All right, so in your Bibles tonight, we're going to touch on again the Love Our Church theme. And so before we read Acts 2, I want to go over something we've gone over before, and that's just a few ways in which you can help the church, practical ways in which you can help the church. We go over these about every other year. I think tonight would be a good time to do that. So in 1 Corinthians 10:31, familiar passage to most of us, it says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Everything we do, we ought to do for the glory of God. And that has to do with doing our best, to give God our very best. And so as we think about practical ways we can help the church, especially in the services, I noticed this morning, I appreciate, we even have some visitors who are really shouting amen. But remember kind of this, some of y'all remember this list, but we have a lot of new people too. And so one of the ways in which you can practically help at the church service is to say amen. And so we've said many times as we have grown, we don't want to lose the shout. And so amen simply means I agree. And as you think about that, we've preached on 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where it touches on the subject that it not only is it saying I agree, but it also is a witness to those around you in the service, to visitors and our church family, to witness to them that we agree, that we are united in our agreement of what's being preached from the pulpit. Amen? I appreciate that. Say amen. Praise the Lord. Or, you know, we might be a little carried away if you jump a pew, but or jump chairs. We don't have pews, but jump chairs. Or if you run around the building, we might not. But amen, praise the Lord. You know, I say a lot of times, say that's right, or you know, great, or whatever. But the participation is a good thing. Number two, sing out loud. And Sunday morning, a couple of times here in the last year, I've kind of walked around Sunday morning and come through the back, and in fact, I stood by maybe in this group one Sunday morning and started singing. And my one voice outdid everybody else's voice. I'm not singing. I'm a loud mouth, I know, but I'm just saying, you know, sing out, you know. Give it your best shot, whatever that is. And so some of you are looking at me like, oh, yeah, I can't sing. Well, make a joyful noise in the Lord. I know we say it, but, you know, and yours might not be that loud, but help us out. Sing out. Make a joyful noise in the Lord, all your lands. Proverbs and also Psalm says that twice, three times. Number three, shake hands. I know this is hard stuff. This is complicated stuff. One thing I've noticed, maybe more so in the last year or so, is making sure that those who are not moving are the ones you want to shake hands with. Let me rephrase that. The ones who are not moving is the ones you want to shake hands with the most. You know, that's the ones you want to go after. You want to shake the hands of those who are standing, because more than likely they're our visitors or they're whatever the case is, and maybe they're having a bad Sunday, whatever the case is. Make sure you get around and shake hands, and sometimes it might just be good to take an effort to, you know, to look for visitors and be, let's all be careful that just because somebody looks different or dressed different, I'm so encouraged by, and I'll use this word correctly, the diversity we've seen in our church here the last year or so. And man, to be able to do that and God to bless that and for us to embrace that. I know we are, but part of embracing that is to be very active in greeting those individuals and so forth. I think about the individuals even, and he don't mind, that we baptized Randy Nicodemus last Sunday. He's a big old guy. Maybe he's watching tonight. He has tattoos. He has all those things. But what a remarkable miracle of God in his life. And we look forward. He will be giving a testimony soon. And so just to be reminded that God is no respecter of persons, and neither should we be respecters of persons. And God is for the rich, the poor, Republican, Democrat, I know, stretching it a little bit, but God is for everyone, and we need to, we absolutely need to be aware of that, and again, get around to knowing that. Some of you who sit, most of you do sit in the same section every Sunday, and so the visitors have a habit of sitting in the same section as well, and I just encourage you to try to learn the name of those who are continually sitting in your section, the visitors, and get to know them and be able to call them by name. It takes some effort, doesn't it? It takes some effort. Sometimes I got to ask visitors' name twice or three times, but don't be embarrassed to do that. They don't mind, and ask them again what their name is. And so try to greet them by name. Number four, this is a tough one for most people. Sit down front. I'll move on. Amen. Number. Y'all remember when we were in the building and we had to have the leadership. We had to make the leadership sit down front. Now we didn't, make them whatever. Because we had no seats. And here I know we got a bigger auditorium and we're able to scatter out a little bit, but encourage us Sunday morning, sit down front. Number four, start to the altar first stanza. If God's touched your heart, don't wait. Come on down, because you may encourage someone else to come down. And you say, well, that's not my purpose for coming. Well, yeah, I understand that. But you could encourage someone else to step out. And so I'd encourage, especially, we've talked about this before, it's amazing to me how many times on big days, and this has not been the case the last couple of years, it's been a lot better, that on big days, nobody comes to the front. And I would encourage you, when we have a big day, and God touched your heart about anything, come to the front, because you'll encourage some of the others to come down. And I promise you, it will work. Somebody who may be debating as to come down to get saved, and they see, 10 or 15 people come down, they may take the courage to step out as well. So keep that in mind. All right? Just practical things. One of the things you can do is stop doing what you're doing and go to church. And you've done that tonight. So good job. Good job. And those who may be watching and those who've stayed home to watch that game, I don't know why anybody Amen. Would want to go watch those two teams. I have animosity towards both teams, especially that one that has that quarterback that continues to win that I can't stand. And then somebody gives me their poster. I did finally come across it again. We burned it. Ritual. No, I'm just kidding. But come to church, as we stated this morning, and in obedience to the Lord, but also and the benefits of coming to church. Just amazing. Let's see. Smile. That might help too. I love that. Come on and smile. Smile, smile. God loves you. What you got to do with the blues anyhow? How many of y'all know that one? All right, I'll move on. I've been really nostalgic lately with songs from when I was a kid. It's really been tough. Even at Norris on Wednesday, I sang about three or four of them just because I could. Smile. Happiness is to know the Lord, right? And sometimes we need to let our face know it. And I'm not saying to sit around with a silly grin. I don't do that either. But we ought to be the happiest people on earth. And sure let other people know it. This is a good one. Stop talking. I know sometimes you think, my little jibber-jabber's not bothering anybody. And for some reason, my ears work the opposite way. If you talk to me, I'll hear everybody in the background, and I won't hear you. And when I'm preaching or when I'm up here, I can hear the rustling. It's amazing. I may not see you move, but I can hear the little rustling. It's unbelievable. Help us, right? And I'm not going to pick on this section, but I am. Don't talk, Don't be on your phone. Don't be on your phone. Let me say it again. Don't be on your phone. Don't be texting. Don't be watching the game right now. Don't be on your phone. Don't talk during the service. And seriously, you may affect someone's decision. I don't want to stand before God someday and give an account that I affected somebody's decision because they couldn't hear or they were distracted by me. And Sunday night's a little different. We have all the family in here and all the kids in here. And we want that, by the way. I commend the parents for bringing their family on Sunday night. And those families who choose not to come Sunday night because they don't want to keep their kids under control are harming their kids in a way they don't understand. I know I'm getting off on the subject a little bit, but there is a there is an exodus of young people from the church today. And a lot of different people trying to figure out why. Let me tell you one of the top five reasons. Because all we've done is play with kids at church, and they've never sat in a service. You know, Master Club is teaching them, Sunday School is teaching them, Children's Church is teaching them, but in a different atmosphere. And so when they finally get to the college career age and they come to the auditorium, they're like, "Boy, this is boring. Where's the TV? You know, where's this kind of music? And where's the puppets at? And blah 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 blah." I'm right. And I commend you, mom and dads, for bringing your kids and making sure they're here on Sunday night. And I'll bring the puppets out. I'll do it if you guys want them. I do. I can make some great voices. I get that from my dad. I won't do them right now. Sorry, I got off on a tangent there, but these are practical things. Stop talking. You know, just be aware of those around you. And help on that. And all of us have a tendency, even during the offertory, to kind of, and just, we need to be careful, be watchful of that. I appreciate our musicians, and we ought to try to be respectful to them as well as they play during the offertory. Amen? Amen, Miss Linda? Amen. Where's Miss, and I know Miss Christie's sick tonight, so, and Miss Abby, and Miss Cook, and who else plays? I'm going to leave somebody up. Who else? Who? Oh, Brother Schuler? I don't know. Who all plays? Yeah. I'm not. Brother Wiggins doesn't matter. You can talk during his stuff. All right. Stay afterwards. Again, fellowship is important. Can't encourage you enough to fellowship. Church is about reaching people for the Lord and discipling them and baptizing. It's also about belonging and fellowship. So our church doesn't have a huge problem with that. In fact, sometimes we're like, "Oh, I'd really like to go home." No, you're welcome to stay as long as you'd like and fellowship. And some of you, though, we've taught you how to turn the lights off and close the door. Honestly, that's a great thing, and we never want to discourage that at all. And then support the work financially, and we just came through stewardship, so teach your kids to support the work financially. As my kids have gotten older and gotten jobs, we make sure that they tithe and they give to missions and make sure that they're a part. I'd encourage you, and you see, I've practiced it for years and years, to give every service. I give something every service. And I don't just do that because I think I have to. I want to do that. If I'm in another church, if you follow me around, if you follow me around, if you were, I try to give every service wherever I'm at. And I want to do that and have a part, because that's part of my worship. It's part of my giving, is part of my worship. So those are just a few practical things. And I want to encourage you, especially the amen part, would you just keep that in mind as we think about those. Be friendly. It's one thing to be friendly. It's one thing to be a friend. And so I'd encourage you, as you new members come on, that you befriend them and encourage them and strengthen them to be a blessing to them. Okay? Acts 2:41. Very quickly, we won't be long. Familiar passage. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread in prayers." So we see here on the day of Pentecost that Peter gets up and preaches to this large group. This is 50 days after Christ has risen from the dead. This is 10 days after he ascended into heaven. And he leaves the Great Commission for the church. And here Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost, that feast of the feast for the Jews. And Feast of Weeks is what it's called, but the Feast of Pentecost, and preaches to this large group. And if you read the sermon, he basically calls them a bunch of murderers, that you have killed the Messiah. You've killed the long-awaited Messiah. Imagine that, God, imagine that, to get up in front of the same group that crucified the Messiah and call them murderers. And he got up full of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, and preached to them. And it says when he got done, that 3,000 people accepted the message. They said, "We believe that Jesus is the Messiah. We believe the one that was crucified was the Messiah. We trust him." And it says they were baptized, and then they were added unto them. And that them is the church. As I stated this morning, Christ started the church in the Gospels. Did not begin on the day of Pentecost. It was empowered on the day of Pentecost, on this day in Acts chapter 2. But it was absolutely started by Christ, and they were added to that church. 3,000 souls. Imagine that. As we think about the purpose of a church, we remember that, of course, the purpose of a church is, and they're up on the wall, is loving God. And we exist to love the Lord. We exist for His good pleasure. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This is found in Mark 12:30. It's found, the same premise is found in Matthew 22. And again, it's also found in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And may we as Christians love Him and love Him more. We are to grow in our love for Him. Just as I grow in my love for my wife the longer we're married, so should we grow in our love for the Lord the longer we're saved. And when that's not happening, when that growing is not happening, you know something's wrong, right? That's just like in your marriage. When your marriage becomes stagnant or your marriage becomes indifferent, you know something is wrong. And we need a checkup and to make sure that we're going forward. Motivation, why? Why? Well, why do we serve? Why do we love the Lord? Well, I believe it starts, sometimes it does start with fear. In fact, Solomon said at the end of his life, he'd experienced everything, and he said at the end of his life, all is vanity except to what? Fear God and keep His commandments. So there's nothing wrong. In fact, the Bible, it's a biblical principle that we fear the Lord. But fear only gets you so far when you motivate somebody in fear. Whereas love is a much greater motivation. And that's why with our children, we need both. Right? Love is spelled T-I-M-E. We spend time with our kids. We also put the fear of God in them to a certain degree. And with the combination of those two, we are able to discipline and raise our kids. Right. But that's the same thing with us as Christians. When we're born again, right? That's the analogy. We're born again. We start off as toddlers and we grow. God uses many times, or we do have that fear. But as we mature, our motivation for serving should be love, not fear. Is that right? Everybody with me? As we go forward in the Christian life, a greater number, the majority of our motivation should be more love and not necessarily fear. And they'll both play into it. In other words, it should go from fear to love. We should want to go to church. We should want to give as we mature as Christians. We should enjoy good godly music. And I can't encourage you enough again to surround yourself with good godly music and your kids with good godly music. We should love to glorify Him. And again, because we love Him and not necessarily because of fear. A lot more can be accomplished with people who are motivated by love and not fear. Right? When you got their heart, a lot more can be done than just simply forcing them and fearing them into doing something. Amen? And that's what God wants from us. He wants us, again, to get to that place in our life where we love Him. And our love is motivating us to do it. Where does this start, this loving God? What starts at salvation? I'm not going to cover all of this, but it does start at salvation. You can't love properly until you know the Lord. You truly can't love properly. I'm talking about in all relationships. Love is really learned from the Lord. And true love begins with God. All right? And then we have continued identification. That's through baptism. And again, loving God starts at salvation. It continues through baptism. As we recognize the death, burial, and resurrection by way of baptism, as we did this morning. Isn't it exciting? Two Sundays in a row again. And the water both cold both times. But it's going to be all right. One day we'll nail it again and have some hot water for him. But we talk about that eternal love, the unconditional love of God, and as we get identified with Christ in baptism. So baptism is there to, as a passageway into the church, makes us a member of the church. It's a public identification with Christ. It's a publicly identifying that I am a Christ follower, that I am following in His steps. And then it's a picture, and that's the primary reason for baptism is a picture. The picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. As I told Miss Iannucci this morning, I said, listen, baptism does not save you. Baptism does not wash away your sins. Baptism does not picture the washing away of sins. Baptism is not a reconfiguration of an Old Testament washing. Right? So the priest would come to the temple and they would have to wash themselves in the brazen laver before they went into the holy place. If they went in dirty, that was a bad deal. They could die. Right? I've read the book. It's what it says. Pretty important for a priest to be clean when he went into the Holy of Holies, or the holy place, either one. But baptism is not a reconfiguration of that, of that ceremony or whatever the case is. No, baptism, John the Baptist said, came from God. It's not a reconfiguration. Baptism does not picture the washing away of sins. Baptism pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The water represents the grave. The water represents God's wrath upon sin, God's judgment upon sin, and how that we are buried with Christ into that judgment, and when we are resurrected, we escape God's judgment. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I'm glad I don't have to face hell. I'm glad I know my sins are forgiven and my home is in heaven. Baptism pictures that. Again, as we love the Lord, it starts with salvation, continues in baptism and in church membership, identifying and belonging with a body of believers, and then cultivated through our worship of Him. Personally, there ought to be a daily walk with the Lord. If you love the Lord, you ought to have a daily walk. Amen? Honestly. If we love our spouses, we'll spend time with them. If we love the Lord, we'll spend time with Him. That's just plain and simple. And then collectively as a body, worshiping Him together. And that's through prayer and preaching and singing and giving. And again, having that spiritual meal. I was talking with somebody this week, again, about feeding the new man and starving the old man. Feeding the spiritual man. How are we going to feed the spiritual man? How are we going to feed our spirit? By being in church and hearing the Bible preached. By being in Sunday school and hearing the Bible taught. By being in Wednesday nights and Sunday nights as you're doing tonight. And so we need that as we continue to strive to love the Lord in a greater way. Loving the Lord. By the way, serving is not necessarily an indication of love for the Lord. Right? It depends on why. And you have the story of Mary and Martha to prove that out. Amen? So we need to be careful. Be careful. Make sure we're serving the Lord because we love Him. We love Him. And when we talk about growing together, it says that they continued there in verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And so we think about growing together through doctrine, through the teachings of the apostles, through the teaching of God's word and doctrine. Doctrine just simply means teachings. And it's important that you be a part of a church that preaches and teaches the word of God, the fundamental truths of the Bible. I think you found one. Glad you're here. And again, as I stated this morning, it's not about tradition. It's about what does the New Testament say? What does the Old Testament say? And following the Bible. Teaching doctrine Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's about personal discipleship. It is about Bible conference. I'm looking forward to Brother Stewart being here. I told you he's going to be preaching on the person of Job this year. And so that's just here in a few weeks. It'll be here. And we have our missions conference again. And we have a revival meeting with Sam Davis in the summer. And all these things. All these services, again, to continue in the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, fellowshipping with the people of God through the Lord's Supper and breaking of bread and through prayer. And then lastly, serving others. Acts 2:44 says, and all that believed were together and all had all things in common. This is not communism. God is not saying you have to go split all your stuff up between everybody. But they had all things in common. They shared with each other. By the way, the Bible teaches if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. So he wouldn't come over here and tell you to give all your stuff. Anyway, it's not communism. All things in common. So we think about serving others, and that's our neighbor, and that's our co-workers, and that's our family. It's about discovering a place of ministry in the church, and we preached on this morning in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and being a part of the body and finding a place to serve the Lord in this body of believers. And I encourage you, if you're not involved in the church here, that you get involved somewhere. And there's plenty of places to get involved. I promise you, just come talk to us. And then develop a passion for the lost. You say, well, I don't know how. I just don't have a passion for the lost. Can I just tell you, pray for it. And certainly all of us could have a greater passion for the lost and more compassion. But we personally should have a passion for the lost. And collectively as a church, we need to have a passion for the lost. And we need to reach the lost. I'm thankful for a program. I'm thankful. And programs are not bad. I'm thankful for a program that's been put in place at our church where we systematically try to reach our community for Christ. Through passing out flyers and knocking on new move-ins doors and following up on visitors It's an amazing thing. And we showed the crowd that came out for the soul winning kickoff, our sheet of visitors and how we keep track of them. There's some on that sheet that have been there for 3 or 4 years. And until, you know, we're able to go back and follow up and visit them and try to be a blessing to them. So, and through our missions program, I'm thankful for our missions program, for our missions ministry. Again, a church is about reaching the lost. That's its primary function. That's its primary duty. It's its primary reason for existence, to reach the lost, to baptize them and disciple them. If a church ceases to do that, it ceases to be a church. It may say it out front. It may say it on the sign, but it doesn't make it a church. A church can become a social program and a social club. And most churches today, it's sad to say, that's what they become. You see, the primary reasons for Heritage's existence is not to feed the poor. Though I do believe we should help and do so. But that's not the primary function. Our primary function is not to put on bazaars and put on festivals. That's not the primary function. Now, if we put those on and reach people with them, that's awesome. Our primary function, our primary reason for existence is to reach the lost. And let us always keep the main thing the main thing. I think about every ministry of our church, emphasis ought to be reaching the lost. Every program we have should be about reaching the lost. Walk Through Bethlehem, about reaching the lost. Our fall festival, we still had a family join because of the fall festival this year. Hallelujah, you know. Everything's about reaching the lost and reaching our community for Christ. Heritage Christian Academy exists primarily to reach our community for Christ. We've seen several saved through the ministry of Heritage Christian Academy. We think about the youth department's primary purpose is to reach the lost. Amen? Everything about our church is to reach the lost, primarily. And then under that, of course, is all the other great benefits of being a part of a wonderful church. Amen? Fellowship, friendship, encouragement, the blessings of being a part of a wonderful family, and a family who cares and has compassion and is kind. I'm so thankful for our church, as I said this morning. And let us continue in that same vein of praying for our church family and being kind one to another and united together. I think about our missionaries, and Brother Penny's here tonight and his wife, and the sacrifice they've made to go to Samoa. Amen. I think about this morning of the Prince family going to Uruguay. Boy, what an area to live in. What a sacrifice to make. And we want to continue to support those in these areas. We want to continue to grow our mission family, our missionary family. I'm thankful that Brother Stone was given an acre of land. The church there, Coastline Baptist Church, that we started a little over 5 years ago now. Thankful for that. And so let's pray hard for him. Brother Henderson, our new church plant up in Conway, Missouri, is still praying. They still have this opportunity to get this building, this church building, for $1,500, period. It's on about 2 acres of land. And they're still working through the process. We all need to pray for that process. And so pray for that. And then Brother Jason Pugh took a church in Rockwall. And so he is the pastor now there in Rockwall, Texas. And so he's not very far from us. And be in prayer for him. And what a blessing there. And so thankful for what God is doing through Heritage Baptist Church and reaching the lost for the Christ. Let's all stand. We'll have a time of invitation. Hymn 118, I Need Thee Every Hour.